Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit of the living God, I thank you for your help. You are our helper. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding into the word of the Lord. Father, you have said in your word, one of the most important things in our life is to grow spiritually. It is to mature. Father, I pray today, help us, awaken us. Let us see that we need to take and put priorities back in order in our lives, spiritual priorities, and have them above anything that we do in this earth. Because if we put our spiritual priorities in order, we thank you, Father, that everything else will work out in this world for us. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. I have been spending quite a bit of time in my own personal prayer time. And starting at the very beginning of this year, and I started interceding and praying, and I started saying this. I said, Lord, I saw in 2020 concerning the church, and I saw some things that really disturbed me there. And so I started asking him, I said, what did that reveal in us? What did that reveal concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? What did that reveal as us, as Christians? And the Lord really began to minister to me that 2020 revealed the shallowness of the Word of God on the inside of us, the shallowness of the maturity of the believer, and it also showed that so many churches had gotten away from prayer and intercession and really seeking God and praying against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that come and influence in this earth people, systems, and other things. And it's up to the church to exercise the authority that Jesus has given us. The Bible says, Jesus said this, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth. Now notice this, he didn't say whatever I bind on earth. He said whatever you bind on earth then will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will then be loose in heaven also. So the responsibility of that, of taking those keys and using them, belongs to the church of Jesus Christ. But if we put the keys up on the key rack and never take them off and never use them, but get into a position and place of fear, and God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. If we get into a place that we're operating more in fear than in faith, and we never take the keys of authority that God has given us and realize that we cannot leave our place of position in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And we do warfare from there. We do. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession. He right now is interceding. And you know who he's interceding for? We're supposed to be interceding for the lost. He's interceding for the saints. The Bible says. That means that's us. That's us. If you've been born again, you're no longer an ain't, you're a saint. Amen? The Bible says that. It means that I've been set apart. I've been made holy. I've been sanctified for the purpose and the use of God for us to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when I take my position and I lower myself to come down and do the works of the flesh, trying to cause things to change by the works of the flesh, it'll always fail. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. If I'm dealing with principalities and rulers of darkness, then I have got to take my place in Christ Jesus and use the word of God. We sang about it this morning. My praise is a weapon. The word of God is a weapon. The Bible says that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Because the only way that you can deal with what's happening in this earth, you've got to deal with what's behind it. You've got to deal with the root cause of it. And the root cause of it will always be and never change until Jesus comes back. It is the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual hosts in wicked places that's having influence in this earth upon people that are not born again, and yet upon some people that are born again, but mainly on people that are not born again, and they begin to do the assignments that the enemy puts in their heart and moves upon them and influences them to act in a certain way, in a certain manner, and the accumulation of all of it is to come against the body of Christ, to stop the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the church does not intercede seriously and take our authority, then we will just say whatever will be, and we will be crying out to God without faith. We'll be just saying, oh God, do something. And what God wants us to do is He wants us to do something in the spirit realm. Yes. Listen, the Bible says very clearly in Ephesians 6 chapter, you do not wrestle with flesh and blood. And that's what we've been doing for over a year now. We've been trying to wrestle this stuff with flesh. You can't wrestle with demonic spirits and principalities and the kingdom of darkness. You can't wrestle with them by the flesh. You've got to do it by the Spirit of God, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God. Taking the authority that we have, and especially at the times of prayer and intercession. The Lord told me and shared with me that we've been in the kiddie pool when it comes to prayer. We haven't been in the deep end. We've been in the shallows. And that He's calling us. He's calling us to live the way He wants us to live. He's calling us to come in to intercession and pray, least we lose what God has established in this nation. And don't think that that can't happen. Because when you look at the seven churches that Jesus came and talked to in Revelations, the second chapter, and Revelations, the third chapter, you won't find those churches anymore. Majority of those churches that Jesus corrected, that Jesus gave instruction to, majority of those right now, the whole nation where they were having such an impact, such a move of God, stopped, and now those places are all Muslim. Not Christian, Muslim. So don't think that it can't happen here. If we don't awaken, and if we don't start spiritually growing again, you know, my dad used to say this to me all the time. This is before I was born again. He would say, Al, son, it is time for you to grow up. It is time for you to start making responsible decisions. And it's time for you to start taking responsibility for your mistakes. And son, it's time for you to stop being selfish and only thinking about yourself and quit acting like a child. I cannot tell you how many times, and I can stand up here and tell you out of my heart that particular statement, because that was said to me over and over and over again. And then I would agree and just say, okay, Dad, okay, I'll do that. But I never took responsibility for it. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 11, shout for the word. It says, even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure or whether it is right. By the way they act. Let me put it like this. Even the church of Jesus Christ is known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure or whether it is right. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking about love in the first chapter of Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he made this statement in verse 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man," notice that there is a process. He said, at one time, I was a child, because every time when we get born again, we become the children of God. Actually, when we become born again, we are in the infancy stage. And God wants us to go from being born again, from maternity to maturity. That's where He desires us to be. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish," and the word childish there means immature, "I put away immature things." So let me make this statement to you. Maturity has nothing to do with age. Age is only a number. Because I have seen people in their 70s, acting like immature babies, children. I have seen people, and let me also say this. Spiritual maturity is not achieved by just attending or watching church or becoming a member of church or volunteering in church or leading people or being socially involved with humanitarian events. That is not maturity. I have seen CEOs that run companies that have administrative in business, entrepreneur type of spirit, but I've seen them act very immature. So what we're talking about is spiritual maturity. It is something that God desires from every single one of us. And so we don't want to be people that are our flesh, our carnal nature, this flesh that we live in, that or the world dictates our conduct, our behavior, or it dictates our post on social media. Selah. And we don't want our flesh or the carnality to dictate our worth, our work ethic, or our responsibilities. We don't want to be 40, 50, 30, 20 years old walking around with a pacifier in our mouth. We don't want to be a congregation that the whole congregation is nothing but babies. God expects us to grow. When you had children, did you expect your children to grow? And not only do you expect them to grow physically, but you expected them to grow up mentally, socially, academically. But to do that, somebody had to work. Not only do parents have to work, but the children also have to take responsibility. And we as parents, we are to hold them responsible for what we tell them to do and what we ask them to do. And don't tell them to do it six times. Who's the parent? When you say it, you make sure that they're responsible for doing it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. One day, your kids are going to grow up, and if there's no consequences to their rebellion or no consequences to their disobedience, when they get out and start working, they're going to get fired. They will get fired. I'll never forget this young man who came, and I spent time pouring into him and talking to him and prayed, and he said, "I need to be responsible. I need to go get a job." And I said, "Well, if you go get a job," I said, "the thing that you have to do," I said, "you can't get a job with your pants hanging down over your butt. That does not work." It does, because he had him there. I said, "That doesn't work." And he was respecting me. And he said, "I know, Pastor. I know. I said, so dress decent and go apply." But I said, "When you apply, whatever they tell you to do, you're going to have to do it. If they tell you there's a time you got to show up, you're going to have to show up." And he said, I know, I'll do it. And you must be obedient to them. Whether you like your supervisor or whoever it is, you must be obedient to them. Because the Bible says everything you do in word and deed, do it unto the Lord, do it unto Jesus. And do it. And I said, you have to deal sometimes with your flesh, that your flesh wants to bow up. Your flesh wants to say something. And not only that, there could be people there at work that don't want to work at all and hate being there. And you're going to hear the most negative things that you've ever heard in your life coming out of it. But that's where you're going to shine. That's where you're going to do everything, no matter who. Don't worry about whether anybody's looking at you, because God has a way to take the eyes of those that are over you and bring them right to you. I said it's called favor, supernatural favor. And I said, remember this, you want to work as hard as you can, because promotion does not come from the north, south, east, and west. Promotion comes from God. But he doesn't promote lazy people. He promotes diligent people. He doesn't promote gripers and complainers. He promotes people that will say, what else is there to do while I'm there working? I know in this day in society, this is not a very popular message, but it's the Bible. It is the Word of God. And if somebody will listen to me, it could be promotion is right down the line for you if you just change some things and get your focus. Quit sitting around and being negative with everybody that's negative there, and quit complaining and putting people down, and just do your job and say, Lord, I do this unto you, and I thank you to do it. I've lived like this all my life. I've lived like this, and I'm living proof. Coming from nothing, nobody, having nothing, I'm living proof that if you'll be diligent before God and you'll be faithful in the small things, God will take you one step at a time, and he will bring favor and he will bring promotion in your life. He will do that. I started out working, driving a truck for $3.35 an hour. After I lost everything that I thought was so important. And this is right after I got born again. I was the happiest $3.35 driver of a truck you have ever seen in your life. I was singing Jesus. I was having such a good time. I was witnessing to people that were out there, the love of God. I got to pray for people that were going through all kinds of messes and things. God just showed me that. But I'm going to tell you, every oil tank that I had to fill, every gas tank that I had to fill, I filled it. I filled it on time. And if I had to work overtime, I was there working overtime. I was just doing it and doing it as unto the Lord. And God just kept bringing things in my life. God will do that. God will look at what you're doing. Because the Bible says, God says this in his word. If you're not faithful in another man's field stuff, he won't give you your own. I tell people all the time, you better quit cursing that car. And you need to get in there and clean it up. And take responsibility for it. It's nasty. Get that stuff out of the floorboard. Get that stuff. Get them cups and get everything and clean it up. Well, I got four kids. I got all of this. We all do. But my question is, do you want something better than what you got right now? If you want something better than what you got right now, you're going to have to take care of what you got right now and act like that is the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I had a car that I had to believe God. I got all my intercession in before we ever got to church. And then I got extra intercession in when we left the church, just so I was believing God to get to church, that the car would not break down and get me back to church. And then the next morning I went in intercession to get me to work. And at the same time, I was believing God, you got to help me here, because they couldn't fix that thing. And lo and behold, a set of miracles took place, and I got another car that was reliable. Oh, it was not shiny, but I was proud of it. Glory to God. You know why I was proud of it? Because it didn't break down, and it got me where I needed to go. Praise God forevermore. So God wants us to spiritually mature. Now, psychologically, I'm going to go back to my degree. Psychologically, we tend to describe maturity as being able to make sound decisions, making good decisions, and taking responsibility for our actions. And physically and biologically, we basically have like four stages. And that is infancy, childhood, adolescence, and then adulthood. And every single one of those are seasons in our life that we are going to be taught things. It is up to us to make a decision whether I want to learn or not. Young people, when you're sitting in that classroom, whether it's the boringest thing in the world, I had some of the most boring classes I have ever had in my life. But at the same time, I knew that there was going to be a test at the end of that boring class. And I knew that I was going to have to study whether I liked that teacher or not. And I was having to do everything I could to keep myself awake inside that class. But at the same time, I knew there's going to be a test. Keep your focus on this. There's going to be a test. So I took notes. I gathered the things that I was supposed to do, and at the end of the class, when it was over, and I did rejoice, I did celebrate when the class was over because I didn't have to take that teacher anymore. And so I was like, yes, glory to God, but I passed the test. You say, well, I'm doing something right now I don't like. Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength, not your job. The joy of the Lord. And by the way, if you are a born again believer, you are there on assignment. You're not there just because it's the only place you can get a job. Your steps were ordered by the Lord, and you're there, and you may be there for just one person. But you're there on assignment, and how you do on that assignment, and how faithful you are on that assignment, and what comes out of your mouth on that assignment will determine where you go next. It will determine the next step. And again, if you're going to sit around and murmur and complain and everything, you're going to stay on that step. I want to go to the next. I want to go to the next step. Oh, there's a window over here. You don't want to go in that window. There might be a snake over there. You don't want to go. You don't look for a window when God has opened a door for you. You've got to be faithful. And here's the mentality that you've got to have. I am going to be faithful in this position and place if I am here until Jesus comes back. And then when God gets ready to open something else for you, it will happen supernaturally. You can't miss it. That would be like David trying to miss Goliath. You cannot miss it. God is the one that opens the doors that no man can close. God has already ordered your steps before you ever live one day. Psalms 139. He's already ordered your steps. But your steps must be in alignment with His Word, and your steps must have a great attitude. What the Bible says in Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good and the fat of the land. If you're willing and obedient. Now notice this. He didn't say, if you're just obedient. He said, if you're willing and obedient. Let me give you an example. So, let's say somebody tells me to do something, and I don't like it. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to do it because I just heard that sermon. And Pastor said do it, so I'm going to do it. Bless God, I'm going to do it. 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 You're not going to get any blessing out of that. You know why? You were not willing. You were obedient, but your attitude stunk. See, when you get, because God, what is God doing? God will bring people in your life that have sandpaper anointing. It will rub you raw. And what's happening is God is working on our character and our humility, our meekness, and our obedience. That's what He's doing. Because where He wants to take us, all of those characteristics must be in place, or I'm not going to get there, because I will not bring honor to His name if I carry these weaknesses, I carry these things into the next place. So a lot of times when you're dealing with things in this life, get your attitude right. There's nothing wrong with saying this, because I've done this and the Lord just dropped in my heart something, that's okay. But I want you to do it with a good attitude. Because I just like, Lord, I don't like this. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Y'all understand that? If you're on a job and they tell you to lie, you're not going to lie. And you need to tell your boss, no, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian and I'm not going to lie. Because God will take care of what you think I have to lie for. God will bless me in that. And God will show Himself strong in that particular area. Okay? So what I need to do is I need to get my attitude. Father, help me. And this is where you ask the Holy Spirit to help. Holy Spirit, help me right now. I need to get my attitude in order. I need to get my attitude right. Just take for a moment. I mean, even if you have to say, excuse me, you need to go to the bathroom. You don't have to go to the bathroom, but you need to go to the bathroom. You didn't have to tell them what you're going to do in the bathroom. You just say, I need to go to the bathroom, which means I'm going to get my head right. I'm going to get my heart right. Okay? That's what I need to, if I have to do that, that's exactly what I'm going to do, to get my head and my heart right, so that when I come back, I'll say, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. I'm ready. Is this helping anybody? I'm helping. I'm helping. You know, we sang about that song about being content. That was in the song. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I have learned. It was not something that came naturally to him. He said, I have learned. Because this is an act of the flesh out of the Spirit. He said, I have learned that no matter what state I'm in, and he's not talking about North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, or something like that. He said, I've learned that whatever state of affairs that I find myself in, I have learned how to be content. I know what it is to have lack, and I know what it is to have much. Because he knew that when he had lack, he knew that God was Jehovah Jireh. God would take care and meet all of his needs. Because he knew what it was to have lack, because he knew that in the environment that he lived in the nations that he was traveling to and stuff, there's things that happen like famines and other things that could affect his having much. And all of a sudden he finds himself having lack. We know that because when he wrote to the Philippian church about their giving, he said, no church gave to me when I was out there on the mission field, except you only. And then he said, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory. So there was many times in ministry he had to go out and work a job, his old job, making tents. He had to go out and do that just so he could sustain what he was doing in preaching the gospel until he started getting support. And eventually he got support. But he did whatever he needed to do. Some of us need to do whatever we need to do just to make ends meet. And at the same time, you're believing God that God, you don't, listen to me. I don't know who this is for. I'm just flowing by the Spirit right now. I don't know who this is for. You don't have to work three jobs. Amen. God, you may have to right now to get things, but start believing God for the one job with good benefits. And if you're faithful and working hard and doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to have promotion. God's going to see to it, because God loves taking people that are faithful in the things that they are doing and taking, because they will give Him honor. If you've got a good attitude down here on the first step, God knows He can trust you up here on the top step. But I got to have that attitude. You know why? Because if you develop the attitude down here with a heart and a willingness to do what you're doing down here, even though you may not like it, the reason that He wants you to deal with the attitude all the way down here is because up here you're going to be leading other people. And by the way, the whole time you're down here, you're going to start having influence on the others around you, because they're going to see your attitude. You remember I told you that the time when gas was crazy. I mean, it was way up there. And I went to one of the Circle K's, and I was sitting there filling up. I forgot how much gas was at that time, but I knew it was a lot. And I went up, put the nozzle in, and started filling it up. And I sat there while I was filling it up, put a little clip on it, and I started saying right there, and I was just standing there like this, and I started doing this: Jehovah Jireh, my provider, God shall supply. I need my need, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My God shall supply all my need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, supplying all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you for meeting every need. I thank you that we will have enough gas to do out whatever we need to do. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that it's not going to affect the budget. I thank you that you're going to increase. And I thank you, Father, for doing this. This guy stuck his head around. He was on the other side, and he went. He looked at me and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm thanking God that He meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, I give, because it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. No matter what takes place, God's going to take care of me. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to take care of me." I said, "What about you?" He dropped his head and he said, "I'm sitting over here pumping, murmuring, complaining. I'm mad. I'm upset. I want to drive to Washington, D.C. and talk to somebody." You know, he said, "I'm upset. I'm mad." And he said, "Why aren't you mad?" I said, "Because I'm glad." He said, "How can you have that type of attitude with all this stuff that is going on?" I said, "Because my trust is not in Washington, D.C. My trust is not in Raleigh, North Carolina. My trust is in the God who has taken care of me for all of these years through famine, tough times, upside down. He's taken care of me." He said, "I am so convicted." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "When are you going to start acting like it?" He looked at me, he said, "You must be a man of God." I said, "So are you. You just told me you're a Christian." And he looked at me and he said, "Man of God, pray for me." And I said, "All right, come on here." I said, "You got your hose in like that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Matter of fact, have you turned it on?" He said, "Not yet." I went around, I said, "I'm going to pay for your gas." I said, "I'm going to pay for your gas." He said, "Do you not have any need?" I said, "Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I got a lot of it." But I said, "You heard me right here." I said, "I'm casting all my care upon the Lord, because He cares for me." I said, "That's exactly what I'm doing." And he said, "Man." He said, "That's crazy. You're crazy." I said, "I am." I said, "I am. I know. I said, I'm crazy about Jesus." And I said, you know what I was doing over here on the other side of the pump? He said, I know you were singing. And I said, it's called a crazy praise. That's what I was doing. I just giving him praise. I'm just thanking him right now. So I paid for his gas. And now I got to pray for it. I said, if you'll do the same thing, things will change for you. So are you ready for this? Two things. I'm so far away from my notes, I don't even know what. Listen to this. Two things. Number one, 1 week after that, I got an unexpected blessing because I had taken care of him even when I was in need. I took care of him. I wanted to bless him. Now, the second thing. Okay. Are you ready for this? About a month later, I pulled up at the same gas station. Out from the station comes walking this man. And I'm standing there, and I went like this. I recognized him. He came over to me. He said, I want you to know, I started doing what you said. I got in my car and repented before God and asked God to forgive me for the way I was talking, the way I was doing things. And I just started saying, Lord, if you can meet that man's needs, you can meet my needs, because you don't show any, because you're not partial. You're not partial. Lord, you can meet my need just like you met his need. So Lord, I'm just thinking, you know everything in my life. You know where it's at. You know where our finances at. You know what's going on in our life and in our family. Lord, I'm just casting this care upon you, and I'm just thanking for it. He came to me, and he called me again, man of God. And he said, I'm telling you, it works. It absolutely works. Not only did I get a raise at work, he said, we got some things that came in, some checks and stuff from insurance that we were not even expected, didn't have anything. He said, we are no longer behind in our bills. I said, have you already filled up? He said, no, have you filled up? And I said, yeah, I'm filling up right now. He said, bless God. He said, I was going to do it. He said, I was going to do it. He said, I need that blessing. I said, well, I tell you what you can do. I mean, we're right there at Circle K, standing on the out pump right there. And I said, I tell you what you can do. I said, come over, because I turned around like that, and I was putting the gas in. I said, come on, let's sing. He said, what? I said, let's sing. Jehovah Jireh. I'm telling you, this dude could sing. And he started, and I was like, man, you need to be on our choir. What do you know, and we were just standing. People were looking at us like we were absolutely nuts. Crazy. That's what happens when you get your attitude right. You know, the Bible says that he who knows the good to do or the right thing to do and does not do it, to him is sin. I wonder how many of us know what to do, but we're not doing it. How many of us need a checkup from the neck up? And how many of us need to listen to what's coming out of our mouth? Because here's the key. What's coming out of your mouth is the abundance that's in your heart. And if all you're doing is griping, murmuring, complaining, that's your attitude, that's in your heart. So my question is, who's been feeding your spirit, man? Has it been the media? Has it been other people that are negative around you? You know what people need to hear? That are negative around you at work and other places, they need to hear and see your joy. They need to hear that you're trusting God. They need to hear something. Well, I don't know what they'll think about me. Well, how many of them did you don't know in their heart or hoping, knowing you're a Christian, were hoping that you really believe that God is real and that he can turn things around? It's easy to get up and complain and murmur. It's easy. That's like a dead fish floating down the stream. That's easy to do. But for you to start bringing honor and glory to God out of your mouth, out of your attitude, out of your work ethic, and the things that you do. How many of you can tell me right now? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've been through this with the Lord, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will convict me, because there was a time that I could get negative faster than the Roadrunner could run and catch Wile E. Coyote. I mean, I could get so negative. I could get negative about everything. And the Lord would bring that. And I would repent and ask God to forgive me. Lord, that is not the way that I'm supposed to act around people. How many of you know right now, I need some repentance right now? Let me see your hand. I need some repentance right now. I know. Let's all stand. Come on. Let's all stand. I need to get it right. I need to get it right with the Lord right now. And Jesus said this. We sang that song. If he clothes the lilies of the field, if he cares about a sparrow, if his eye is on the sparrow, if his eye is on the sparrow, how much more that his eye, his love, his provision, and everything is on you. We just got to change right now, folks, the way we've been influenced to think. And we got to change this negativity. And we got to change attacking people on social media and all this kind. We got to change this. This is not who we are. We got to set an example. We have to set an example. All these people who came down here to get born again, to come back to the Lord. People are tired of religion. It's got no life in it whatsoever. That acts religious, dresses religious, but then goes out here and acts like they don't even know Jesus. Come on, folks. The world needs us right now. And they need to hear a good word coming out of our mouth, out of our heart. They don't need to hear all this negativity. They hear enough negativity. They need to see somebody that's light. Somebody that's got the joy of the Lord. Even though we're going through things, the joy of the Lord is our strength. They don't need condemnation. They need for somebody to look at them and say, you know what? I want to pray for you because it's going to be okay. You don't even, at that point, you don't even have to lead them to Jesus. Just pray for them. They'll come back and want Jesus. If there's been things coming out of your mouth, attitudes or whatever, that you know that is not Christ-like, all I want you to do is ask the Lord to forgive you. Just say, God, forgive me for my words and my attitude. And Lord, I know. You know every need that I have, and I just cast all of this care upon you right now. I give it to you right now, because I know your eye is on the sparrow.